Hey guys, I'm Michael Bame from Michigan Wolverines, and you're listening to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast.
Welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast, brought to you by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group. And featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Inside Lacrosse analyst, my Homewood homie, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. It's May. We're down to the conference semifinals. Some of the bigger leagues already played their quarterfinals last weekend or earlier this week. Now it's down to each league's four best squads. So many critical games. And since the conference tournaments begin on Thursday with the semifinals, we're putting this out a day early for you fans. Lots to get to. So, Dixie, let's get it. Dix, it's May. It's the best time of the year for lacrosse fans.
Cha-cha-cha.
Yes, sir. We'll also have an interview with Michigan star attackman Mikey Bame coming up in this show. But let's start. We have a lot to get to. This is the one where it comes out a day early. And we're going to talk about every conference tournament. So we got to get to all those leagues. So let's get right to it. Let's start with Tuesday night action. I know you were down in Annapolis for the Navy-Loyola game. Navy gets a 12-10 win over the Greyhounds. Let's start with that one. What were your observations and takeaways from that game?
So it's a whirlwind this time of year, this week in particular. We're recording on Wednesday for a Thursday release. I fly out in a couple of hours to Columbus, and it has just been crazy busy for me, and I know it is for you, but we wouldn't have it any other way. Last night, Navy, Loyola, and really, let's rewind to Friday, last day of the regular season for the Patriot League, and it was that league is so tight and so competitive that had Loyola beaten Army, they would have been the number one seed, and they would have hosted the Patriot League tournament. They lose, and they end up as the six, having to go to Navy, a team they beat in the regular season. Crazy. Yeah.
That's a common theme. There's a few other leagues that same kind of thing happened, and the wild finishes in the Patriot League upended that conference.
Yeah, and last Friday night as well, you had Colgate jump out to a big lead against BU, and had Colgate won that game, they would have been the one. And they lose. BU furious comeback. So anyway, let's look at last night. Navy, Loyola, Zach Hayashi, faceoff man for Navy, was terrific. The Patriot League Rookie of the Year. Goalie Dan Daly, he had 18 saves. And I'm not taking anything away from his effort, but a number of those saves were poor shot choices and poor shot location by Loyola. But he still made the saves. And he was sharp early. You could see his first two saves that he had in that game. He was on point. He was on his game. So Navy knocks off Loyola, ends the Greyhound season, and they advance to take on Lehigh in the Friday semifinals. Then you had BU Colgate. Obviously, I didn't get to watch any of that game, but triple overtime.
Thriller.
Did you watch any of it?
I didn't get to see much of it, but BU wins 18-17, triple overtime. A lot of goals. That's a fun game.
Very fun game. And you have to tip your cap to Colgate, the improvement that they've made under head coach Matt Corwick. Again, that's a Raider team that was in position to be the number one seed in the Patriot League tournament. They play a fast, exciting brand of lacrosse. But congratulations to the Terriers. They will play Army on Friday night. So if you look at the regular season matchups, Lehigh beat Navy, BU beat Army. I think this thing is way up in the air for Patriot League supremacy. And I do believe it'll be a one bid league. So whoever wins the championship, I think goes to the Big Ten. Goes to the NCAA tournament. Army outside chance, but again, you know, their RPI suffered with a couple of the conference losses that they experienced in 2024. So we'll see how that shakes out. You make your life a whole lot easier if you just win the tournament and grab the AQ.
In the Atlantic Sun, Cleveland State on Tuesday night beat Bellarmine 15-12. First ever postseason win for Cleveland State Vikings. Great win there. And in the other quarterfinal game, Jacksonville beat Robert Morris 17-12. Those teams will advance to this weekend's semifinals. And we'll get to breaking down all of the conference tournaments in a little bit. Dix, before we get into our interview with Mikey Boehm, there were some coaching changes already on the scene. So Chris Cullen stepped down from Detroit Mercy. In a little bit of more controversial one, Mike Morgan has resigned from Merrimack. And then the one that was a real shocker just earlier this week, Mike Daly steps down as the head coach of Brown.
Yeah, so let's start with Detroit Mercy. Not a program that I followed a ton, but I did get to cover them in their only NCAA tournament berth. I believe that was 2015, I want to say. And they went to Notre Dame, and they gave the Fighting Irish everything they could handle. They were winning that game going into the fourth quarter. And then Notre Dame went to a 10-man ride and caused some turnovers, and then won that thing. But the lasting image that I'll have of the Titans is them playing air guitar on the sideline, goal celebrations, and just the joy that they played the game with. You mentioned Merrimack moving from D2 to D1 and having success. That's a very successful program. Won a couple of D2 titles and then made the jump to D1. But obviously, some things happen that I'm not intimately familiar with. So an unfortunate situation. And Brown, I like Mike Daly. I reffed his games when he was at Tufts, where he had tremendous success, put that program on the map. And then my son Owen was recruited to Brown, and both Coach Daly and his staff were terrific. So unclear if this is a resignation or a dismissal. But I think it's clear that Brown wants to be in a better position in lacrosse. Lars Tiffany had some success taking them to the national semifinals a few years ago, to Wharton winner in Dylan Malloy. I just know Coach Daly is very well thought of and very well respected and liked by his players. So we'll see how this thing progresses. Do they go after young assistants? And I'm talking about all three programs. Do they go after young assistants who have had success? Will there be what the NFL calls retreads? Division I coaches that might not be working right now that get another opportunity if they want to come back to the sport. And will there be any interest from current Division I head coaches maybe to, what they consider an elevation in their career? So we'll have to wait and see, but the coaching carousel has already started to spin.
All right, Dix, let's bring in our guest, Michigan attackman, Mikey Boehm. Our guest today is Michigan all-time leading scorer, Michael Boehm. The All-American attackman has tallied 26 goals and 27 assists on the season, and leads the Wolverines into the Big Ten semifinals versus Johns Hopkins on Thursday night. Mikey, thanks for joining us on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast.
Thank you guys for having me.
So, Mikey, thanks. Really excited to talk with you and spend a couple of minutes. And you just mentioned, real busy time. I think the one thing that jumps out, in addition to your career and your playing ability, but let's take a step back. People see that you are from the state of Ohio. You're from Buckeye country, but you are a Michigan Wolverine. How does that happen?
Yeah, it's obviously not a popular move to come to Michigan from where I'm from. But my sister, who's 13 years older than I am, came here. And so I was growing up she played club lacrosse here. Her husband, now Trevor Yealy, was captain of Team 1 here. So there's a lot of history that I have coming up to Ann Arbor and watching games and going to the Big House and watching Team One and watching a lot of their home games. It was pretty cool. And it was always something that I kind of wanted to do, and following their footsteps to come here. And then while I'm here, I kind of paved my own way as well. So it's been one of the coolest things, probably the coolest thing I've ever done in my life, and the best decision I've made to come here and follow in their footsteps. And I've loved every single second of it.
When you look at this Michigan team, a little bit uncanny when you think about 2023, coming into the Big Ten tournament, number four seed, you have to play Ohio State in the quarterfinals. You knock them off. Now you get the number one seed in Johns Hopkins. Is 2023 something that you parallel this season to, or is this just a fresh slate and a new opportunity altogether?
Yeah, you know, we try not to look back on 2023. We see this as a new team and a new year. But when you look at the parallels between the two, it's pretty hard not to look at it and laugh and be like, holy cow, this is very similar. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, we still have to go in and not just expect that, oh, last year we beat Ohio State twice, and then we went in and beat Penn State and ended up beating Maryland in the Big Ten championship. You know, that's just not going to happen because we've beat Ohio State twice already, and then we go play the one seed in Johns Hopkins again. Like, every single team that we play from here on out, and, you know, this started a little while back, but is a very good team. And if you don't show up and if you just expect things to fall into your lap because you're looking at the year past or the week prior or whatever it may be, then there's a good chance you're going to get run off the field. But if just with the quality of the opponents, but if you go in there with a fresh mindset and, you know, a mindset of going out there and outwilling and out competing and doing everything with a lot of purpose and energy, and then you're going to put yourself in a really good position to play a good game and to get a W. And so I think that's really what we're focused on. And, you know, again, like I said, it's hard not to look at some of the parallels between last year and this year. But honestly, it's not a huge topic of conversation, and we're just focused on sticking to our process and going out there and tomorrow and playing a really good brand of Michigan lacrosse that we can be proud of when we look back on it. And, you know, again, like I said, just going out there competing super hard and executing those little details at a super high level.
Mikey, you bleed maize and blue. As you mentioned, your sister, a Michigan alum, married Trevor Yealy, who's one of the all-time great Michigan club lacrosse players, and you mentioned on Team One. So you've been coming to the games for a long time. And now when you graduate, you will be the all-time leading scorer in Michigan lacrosse history. You're also, you know, a team member who won the first Big Ten championship for Michigan lacrosse. Like, when you look back on your career, like, what does all that mean to you in the context of you being like a historian of Michigan lacrosse?
Yeah, it's cool. I'd be lying if I didn't say it was pretty cool. Obviously, I don't like to get caught up in all that right now. I think in 10 years, it'll be something that I really can appreciate. And once I'm done here, it'll be something that I can really appreciate and look back on and be super proud of. I think it's cool. And obviously, there are a million people to thank along the way. And I think we'd be sitting here for 2 hours and the bus would probably kill me because I would have to be waiting too long to thank everybody. That's obviously first things first. But again, like you mentioned, I grew up watching all those players that had written the history before me and have continued to write the history books. Like I mentioned Trevor, but guys like Brent Noseworthy, Mikey Schlosser, Kyle Jackson, Decker Curran, a lot of guys, Ian King, who's a Cincinnati guy. There are a lot of guys that I grew up watching and idolizing, and they might not have been the biggest names in college lacrosse at the time, but they were huge names for this program. And, you know, walking to the facility, those are guys that you could see on posters or on the wall. It's something that, you know, I always found really cool being a Michigan fan and growing up like that. So again, I think when I'm able to really put it into perspective once this season's over and I'm done, I think it'll be something really cool to look at. And it'll definitely be something pretty unique between Trevor and I that it's a special bond that we'll get to share for the rest of our lives. And it's pretty cool. Obviously, he comes back for alumni weekend and my sister comes and their three kids come and it just turns into a big family affair. And, you know, having that for the rest of our lives will be something really cool. And it'll be an experience that we get to share for forever.
Not only do you have the pressure of you know, being a lineage in Michigan lacrosse, but you played high school at St. Ignatius. What pressure did you feel trying to be as good of a player as Terry Foy, the current CEO of Inside Lacrosse?
Tons of pressure. Are you kidding me? That was in my ear 24/7.
Good answer. Know, good answer.
Exactly. That's awesome. I know Terry always keeps up on the Ignatius guys, which is good. And I love those guys. And, you know, Kyle Bernlohr is their coach right now. So I'm texting him every once in a while, I definitely keep tabs and keep track of their season. So yeah, that Ignatius is definitely a special place for me.
For sure. For sure. This Wolverine team, when you look at, you know, your teammates on the offensive end, how would you best describe the Wolverine offense in 2024? And then also working with Scott Beda, a player who experienced Big Ten lacrosse, was the Big Ten Player of the Year at Rutgers. How have you been able to develop under his tutelage?
Yeah, I'll start with the latter half of that question with Coach Beda. He's done such a good job with us, and I can't give enough credit to him as a coach, but more importantly, as a person. And, you know, he's a leader. He's a winner. He's developed all of us to be those two things. And, you know, I think he's really someone that I can go to with anything. And, you know, he develops relationships with every single person on the team. Obviously, he works with the offense a ton, and he has a great relationship with everybody on the offensive end, but that extends with the defensive guys and the D middies and the Fogos and the goalies. It's honestly something really cool. And I'm definitely not afraid to say that I absolutely love him. And I think he's created so much for our offense. And, you know, to answer the first part, when I think about it, it's connected is how I would kind of describe our offense. And I think Coach Beda does a great job of building those relationships, and I think we've kind of taken that into our own and developed our great relationships with each other. And I think that was, you know, our purpose number one for our whole team is create deep and meaningful relationships. And that's been something that obviously on the offensive end has, you know, I think led to flow and chemistry and creativity and just kind of playing off of each other. And, you know, Coach Beda could put us in any set, and he does a great job of putting us in places where we can succeed. But, you know, at the end of the day, players have to make plays, and we have to understand the flow of the game. And, you know, lacrosse isn't a game where you're going to X's and O's to death. Like, we're going to obviously, again, Coach Beda is going to put us in great spots, but we're going to go out there and we're going to play connected, and we're going to flow and have fun and, you know, enjoy one. We're playing offense and celebrate with six and focus on, you know, our points of pride, picking up tough ground balls in the offensive end and doing all those little things at an extremely high level. And, you know, honestly, I think those two parts of the question go hand in hand, because I think Coach Beda has done such a good job of building that and instilling that within us. And then, you know, I think our seniors and our leaders and the juniors on the offensive end have done a really good job of, you know, creating a great presence and, you know, kind of just a great vibe. And so when we go out and we play, we have a ton of fun, and, you know, it's something that we really enjoy to just play together and obviously put the ball in the back of the net and get in the huddle and celebrate with six helmets.
Tomorrow night, you'll have a rematch against Johns Hopkins. What do the Wolverines need to do this time around to get a victory?
Yeah, you know, we need to play a complete game. You know, they're a team that'll definitely capitalize on your mistakes. So I think making sure, you know, clearing riding in the middle of the field is all pretty clean is a big thing. No, they're super aggressive defensively. They love to get out on your hands. That's no secret to anybody that watches their defense. So, taking care of the ball and also again, finding times to be aggressive and know when a good time is to get to the front of the cage and take a hit and put it in the back of the net and go and one and hopefully go man up is another thing that I think we need to do. So, just overall playing a really sound game. Sound full 60 minutes and 60 plus if we need it, and executing on all those little details. But again, at the end of the day, playing tough and playing hard and going out there and competing and outwilling the other team is something that will give us the best possible chance to win if we go out and do that.
All right, Mikey, I know you just finished practice. You're about to get on the bus to head to Columbus. But before you go, I have some fun, like quick hitter questions. Are you ready?
Perfect.
All right. This is the most important question that all the listeners want to hear. Mazen Blue Deli or Zingerman's?
We have a tradition once a week. Justin Weefeld and I always go. Jack Welsh joins us a lot. Jack Rideout, and we'll bring others along. But we go to Zingerman's once a week before the game, and it's our spot. We love that place.
What's your go-to sandwich there?
Dave's Open Road, number 74.
Love it.
Automatic.
All right. Who is your favorite athlete of all time?
Sidney Crosby.
I knew it was going to be a hockey guy. You're
I love him.
a
I
hockey
love him.
guy in
He's,
high school, right?
yeah, hockey guy. He's
Penguin
a,
on top of it. Oh my
oh yeah.
goodness.
Come on. He's an unbelievable. Great leader, too.
No Columbus Blue Jacket
No.
or
Detroit
Red
Red
Wings.
Wing? No. So I, well, obviously, I was a big, I mean, Sid was so good growing up, and I was a huge hockey guy. So that was a big draw. But when I was, I remember when I was probably like 5 years old. I went and like Google mapped on our like desktop computer at home all the closest rink to try and figure out who I was like really gonna pick at that point. And Pittsburgh was the closest. So I was really fired up because I could be a fan of Sid.
If Dixie or I walk into the Michigan locker room right now, what song would we most likely hear playing?
Depends who's running the Hawks. If you're getting Willie Snead, shout out DJ Willie. He plays a lot of hard EDM, so you're probably gonna get something along those lines. If you're after practice or on a really nice day, you're probably gonna hear some country in there too.
Who's your favorite Wolverines team to go watch play?
Cool. The hockey games are a lot of fun. Obviously, the football games I feel like are a lot of number one answers right away. Those Saturdays, I think the energy on campus is unbeatable. We're driving to 8 a.m. practice on a Saturday, and there's a line all the way up to our facility to get into the golf course to go tailgate. So those are unbelievable. I love going, and again, being a hockey guy, going to Yost and watching a game there is pretty awesome.
Who's the funniest guy on the Michigan lacrosse team?
You're gonna get me in trouble for this one. I'm gonna get the guys are gonna hound me. It's hard. Caden Hawkinson is really funny, and he's been someone that I've been with for the past 4 years. He it's I'm always laughing whenever I'm with him. So I'm gonna go out and have a 3 hour bus ride sitting next to him, and I'm gonna laugh probably the whole time.
Who is the best athlete to ever come out of Cleveland St. Ignatius?
Wow. That's tough. Brian Hoyer is a good one. He's been in the NFL for a ton of years. There are a lot of guys.
We'll accept that answer.
I'll go with Hoyer.
Okay. What's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Wildest Dreams. I had the pregame practice or pre-practice playlist a few days ago, and that was on there. So.
All right. Two more questions. When you guys go on the road, all the trips you take, where's your favorite place to go have dinner?
Sammy's at Hopkins.
Okay, good answer. And finally, what's your favorite lacrosse memory at Michigan?
That winning the Big Ten championship last year for sure. But hopefully we can replace it with one this year. That's the plan.
Mikey, thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast presented by Simplicity Group. And best of luck to you and the Wolverines this weekend.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
You've talked to this guy many times.
I have. Nice guy, great player, loves the game, and you know, he'll be fun to watch this weekend in the Big Ten tournament.
That's right. There's lots of conference tournament actions. Again, I've always said that this Thursday, and I guess Friday too, are like the two best days. I always equate these two days to those first 2 days of the NCAA basketball tournament, where every team, you know, there's just games constantly and lots of action. You know, you flipping back and forth between games, because every game means so much. Because in these conference tournaments, as we said in the Patriot League, most of these leagues are one bid leagues. So it really does come down to, can you win your championship? This is what you're playing for. And if you can be successful this weekend, you get to stay with your teammates and practice and keep the dream alive. So as we normally do, we'll go chronologically through the schedule, conference by conference, covering all the games. And it starts Thursday's conference tournament games in the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, the semifinals. This is an interesting situation. They are at Manhattan, even though Manhattan's the 3 seed, in Riverdale, New York. The MAC league rules state that new teams can't host the conference tournament. So it goes to the highest seed. So that eliminated Sacred Heart, who's the 1 seed, and LIU, who's the 2 seed, from hosting. So it will be at Manhattan. And the first game is at 3 o'clock. You can watch this on ESPN Plus. It's number 5 seed Siena, who won a quarterfinal game against number 1 Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart's had an awesome season, man. They're 11-4 overall, 9-0, undefeated throughout the conference. And that sets up that game. And then the second game, Manhattan, the 3 seed, will play number 2, LIU. LIU 7-2, Manhattan 6-3 in the regular season.
So it's interesting. When teams leave a conference, the conference that's being left gets salty. I know we'll talk about the CAA soon, but I think it was a predetermined site to have it at Towson this year versus the possibility of it being at Delaware, because Delaware's leaving the CAA. Then when you come into a conference, they're like, oh, can't host a conference tournament if you're a newcomer, you know? So whatever the case may be, the MAC has never won an NCAA tournament game. I think one team that's interesting that's not in the MAC tournament is Marist, a team that has had success in that conference the last couple of years, been to the NCAA tournament. But with that being said, some fresh blood, some new teams, you know, Sacred Heart, Long Island University. And I think that's where, like, that, in addition to the way Detroit Mercy played in their lone NCAA tournament berth, you just like to see new teams coming in to the big dance. And I think that provides us the opportunity, if Sacred Heart or Long Island University can win the MAC this weekend.
Yeah, and it really seems like it's Sacred Heart's to lose. They ran the table in the conference, and can they keep it up and get to their first NCAA berth, right? Sacred Heart ever been in the tournament before?
I don't think so, no. And I'll be honest with you, growing up, going to St. Mark's School in Catonsville, playing in the CYO basketball, and we played them in soccer too, Sacred Heart and Glendon. That's what I always think about when I see Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart and Glendon right near Santoni's.
Always text. Remember the restaurant. All right, moving on. The Atlantic 10 semifinals. This will take place at UMass in Amherst, Massachusetts. And this is one of those situations where a predetermined site. But St. Joe's is the number 1 seed. They're 5-0. They have to play the 4 seed, who is UMass. So this is always a tough situation when you are the top seed and then you have to go to the conference tournament on the predetermined site and play the host school. Always difficult.
Never easy. But I think these guys at this point, St. Joe's has tournament success experience. They've been to the NCAAs. Richmond, similar situation. You know, so you look at this, and St. Joe's beat Richmond last week by what a goal in a game that could have gone either way to get the number 1 seed. I think everybody's kind of thinking a St. Joe's Richmond rematch, but Richmond and High Point, they've provided a lot of, you know, when they were in the SoCa, they provided a lot of drama, a lot of great games. Don't forget, this is a High Point team. It's played, you know, a really good out of conference schedule, and they got a win over North Carolina. So this is a team that is not short on confidence. inconsistent, but this should be a really entertaining tournament. But it's hard to bet against the Hawks.
Hawks
and
on fire.
How they've played.
They won 10 in a row.
Yeah. Again, losing their first three games of the season, kind of the Zach Cole adjustment to graduation. But it's interesting. You've got Taylor Ray and Dan Shamati, teammates at Duke, going against each other. And ultimately, that could be the championship. And whoever wins this conference, if it's St. Joe's or Richmond, not to take anything away from High Point or UMass, but St. Joe's, Richmond, they're going to be a tough first round matchup for anybody that gets them, should they win the automatic qualifier. And again, much like the Patriot League, I see this as a one bid league.
In the America East, Albany will be the host. Albany's the one seed, Merrimack's the four seed, Vermont's the two seed, UMBC will be the three seed. This one came down to a final wild day. There were two teams that were tied for second who were eliminated on the last day of the regular season.
Yeah, Binghamton, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bryant?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So Vermont will play UMBC in the first game at 4. UAlbany, top seed, went 6-1 in the conference, will host they'll host Merrimack, who was 4-3. And again, Merrimack, a lot of turmoil the last week in that program. Can they focus for a big game against the Great Danes?
Yeah, so again, Bryant's absence is big because I think Bracketologies, just as recently as last week, had Bryant as the conference winner. And they went to the NCAA tournament last year, and they're not even in this thing. I think it's, well, as unfortunate as the Merrimack situation is, kind of impressive that the team's been able to improbably win these last couple of games to get the four seed in the tournament. Albany playing really good lacrosse, and I think it would be good for the sport if Albany could make it back to the NCAA tournament and the country got to see Jake Pisano, the defender for the Great Danes. He would have an opportunity to play in a nationally televised game, you know, on the ESPN networks, and I think that would be a really good thing. We also don't know the Vermont program very well. We've never had anybody from Vermont on the podcast, so it's kind of tough to really get to know them. And UMBC is a team that consistently punches above its weight class. You know, Ryan Moran is a coach that has always, toughness, and nobody thinks we're any good, you know, us against the world mentality. So they're going to be a really difficult out. So this should be a really fun tournament. And the championship game, it's always breakfast in the America East. On ESPNU, always kind of an earlier televised game. So America East will be fun.
Yeah, again, these are Thursday. First game is Vermont, UMBC, 4 o'clock. You can catch this tournament on ESPN Plus. In the Coastal Athletic Association, Coastal now.
Right? Yeah, Coastal, Colonial. Not Colonial anymore.
Coastal. Apparently, that's why Delaware's leaving. They didn't like the name change. That's what I heard. That's the word on the street.
Those finicky blue hens.
The semifinals will be at Towson University in Towson, Maryland. Number one seed Towson. They beat Delaware last week in a great game. They'll host number four Drexel in the first game, 4 o'clock. Delaware plays Fairfield in the nightcap at 7. These are on Lacrosse TV, is where fans can watch the CAA tournament.
So shout out Drexel and our friend Brian Volker, my teammate from Hopkins. You always have a special heart. You know, special place in your heart for the Dragons. You got to give a lot of credit to Fairfield, the improvement in conference that the Stags have had under Andy Baxter, doing a really nice job there. But this does smack of a rematch of Towson and Delaware. The Tigers won last weekend to secure the number one seed. A lot of people feel, though, that, you know, Towson beating Delaware twice in the span of 7-8 days is a tall order, but I'm gonna step out on a limb and say Fairfield might be the upset special in conference tournaments. I think they might have the juice to knock off the Blue Hens, but we'll see. But should be a really good tournament. And you know, Towson, this is where they feel like they belong. You know, after a couple years of not being in the NCAA tournament, You know, this is again as a program, 2017 was in the national semifinals. I know that might seem like a world ago, but it's only 7 years, right? So really like two graduating classes removed from being in the big, you know, in the game's biggest stage. So CAA, no matter what you call it, it's always tough lacrosse, and it should be a fun tournament.
Yeah, Towson's had a great season, and
let's see
if they can keep this going and earn what should be a one bid league. Moving on Thursday, the Big East semifinals. This will be at Villanova University, outside of Philadelphia, in Villanova, Pennsylvania. Denver's the number one seed. They're 11-2 on the season, 5-0. They have a bid locked up. This is maybe the first team that we've come across so far that has earned its probably spot in the NCAA tournament. They'll play number four Villanova. Again, this is one of those situations where the number one seed has to go to the four seed, who's the host. This game's at 5:30 in the nightcap. Georgetown, the two seed, plays Providence, the three seed. Good for Providence sneaking in and getting that three seed. That game's at 8:30. Both of these games are available on CBS Sports Network for fans to watch.
So Denver, a team that's not used to, that is used to traveling. So I think no matter where they play this game, the Pioneers will be comfortable. This is the discussion. I think Denver, to your point, is a lock for the NCAA tournament. Georgetown is on the bubble. I'd say bubble in. If they get knocked off by Providence, I think that severely hurts their NCAA tournament hopes. And then a Providence or a Villanova, if they can beat the Pioneers or the Hoyas in the semifinals, they put themselves in a position to be bid stealers for maybe, you know, a third or fourth Big Ten team, potentially, maybe a fourth ACC team, potentially. So this is a tournament to really keep your eye on in terms of not only what's going to happen in this tournament, but how it might affect other leagues. Second place Ivy team, you know, or third place Ivy team might be a victim if there's a bid stealing situation here in the Big East. So, you know, this is a tournament that Georgetown has owned over the last couple of seasons. I think Denver, based on their regular season win over Georgetown, breaking a 5-game losing streak to the Hoyas, they are looked at as the, I don't want to say heavy favorite, but solid favorite to win the Big East.
Then in the last conference semifinal of the night, the Big Ten semifinals, these games will be in Columbus, Ohio, at Ohio State. The first game, Michigan will play number one seed Johns Hopkins at 6 o'clock. In the second game, Penn State, the three seed, Maryland, the two seed, at 8:30. Both these games on Big Ten Network. You will be there calling this. And this is the thing I always talk about. As a former college athletics administrator, there's nothing worse than being the host school when your team is not playing, especially when your arch rival is playing. So it's not a great week for Ohio State. I'm sure the staff there are very professional and they will run a great tournament, but it certainly hurts your fan turnout and excitement around the facility when you're not involved.
Without question. And I was reminded that in the 2021 tournament that was at Penn State, the Nittany Lions weren't in it. And talking with Jeff Tambroni this week, he brought up how painful that was, you know, and Kevin Connery back in 2018 when it was at Michigan, although they were still getting, you know, getting things situated in Ann Arbor, painful was the word. So I think Ohio State's going to feel the sting this weekend. I know this probably isn't going to happen because Hopkins is the number one seed, but can you imagine if Michigan gets to use the Ohio State locker room? I mean, you want to talk about some burn. That's going to really chap the, you know, what's of the Buckeyes.
That couldn't happen.
I don't think it will because Hopkins is the number one seed, probably should get the home team locker room, right? Yeah. But anyway, all that stuff aside, Michigan, deja vu. Could the Wolverines come in as the four seed? and run the table like they did last year in Baltimore? Possibly. I think you need to look at the fact that the three conference losses that the Wolverines suffered, to Hopkins, to Penn State, to Rutgers, the goalies in those games had career highs in saves and were just ridiculous. They're going to get possessions against Hopkins with Justin Huitfeldt. The question becomes, can they get quality shots? And if and when they do, can they beat Chase Erlin? Hopkins, tip of the cap, first regular season outright title in the history of the program. And they're a team playing with a lot of confidence right now. After that Navy loss, you know, that could have derailed their season, they pulled it together and went undefeated in conference play. Penn State, Maryland, this is a series. Penn State's only won once in 2019, but they have had opportunity after opportunity to knock off Maryland. Maryland is rested after getting the bye last week as the two seed. But I do think theoretically, you have to consider the Nittany Lions to be a slight favorite in this game, even though they're the three. But again, much like I think Michigan will have success at the faceoff dot, Maryland with Luke Wehrman, Penn State has to guard against the spurtability of the Terps. Maryland went on scoring runs, a 3-goal spurt, and then another 4-goal spurt against them in Happy Valley to get that win back in March. I think the winner of Maryland Penn State clinches a home NCAA tournament game. So right now, I think Hopkins, Maryland, Penn State, they're in really good shape to make the NCAA tournament.
Any locks there? Hopkins got one locked up.
I think Hopkins is in
Okay.
no matter what. And
Good.
I do think they've done enough to earn a home game. But Michigan, they're the team, man. They could be the bid stealer, right?
Yes.
Like they did
Yeah.
last year.
They
They
need to
make
win the AQ to get into the NCAA tournament.
I think so. I think their RPI is sitting around a 16 right now, you know. So
So they
I
beat
do think
Hopkins. It moves their RPI up maybe to
big
like
time.
12,
Yeah.
13,
Big time.
14. But that's not going to be enough to get them. They're going to need to win another game, which would give them the automatic qualifier.
I would imagine so. In a perfect world, I see that happening. But again, if other conference tournaments go chalk, meaning there's no bid stealers kind of thing, then they could maybe slip in, but that's not a comfortable position to be in. You know, much like last year, run the table, get the AQ, you know, you can punch your ticket to the big dance. I'm looking forward to this. You know, we'll be at Ohio State Lacrosse Stadium. I'm hoping that the burgeoning area of Ohio in the sport of lacrosse, they got, you know, the Resolute Club out there run by Greg Bice. And a lot of really talented, you know, excited young lacrosse fans. Hopefully they'll come out, you know, and support the tournament, even though the Buckeyes aren't in it, and put on a really good show and show that Ohio lacrosse, you know, loves the game and will throw their support behind the Big Ten tournament.
Just a reminder that the Flying Dixie podcast is brought to you by the Simplicity Group. Before we get into Friday's games, the New Balance All-America lacrosse event returns to Baltimore this summer. The prestigious North-South Senior All-America Games for boys and girls will be played on Saturday, July 27th at Johns Hopkins' historic Homewood Field. The first wave of senior selections were recently announced, and the remainder of the All-America rosters will be unveiled over the next month. Be sure to check out InsideLacrosse.com for the announcements. High school athletes can also be part of the event by earning a place on a team roster in their region. Tryout sessions will be held in 12 different regions for the 2026, 27, 28 graduating classes this spring and summer. Players in the 2025 grad year are being invited and have the chance to prove that they deserve a place in the senior game the following year. Visit allamericalacrosse.com to find the schedule and register. Don't miss the chance to rep your region. Again, that's allamericalacrosse.com. All right. We're more than halfway there as we move into Friday's conference tournament games. And it starts in the Atlantic Sun with those semifinals. They'll be at the Air Force Academy, Colorado Springs, number one, Utah. Take on Cleveland State. Number two, Air Force takes on Jacksonville. First game's at 1 o'clock. You can catch this on ESPN Plus. And then the Jacksonville Air Force game will follow at 4 p.m. on ESPN Plus.
So shout out to Air Force freshman Turner Ashby. He's a Baltimore Crab 2023. Got the ASUN Freshman of the Year. So that was really cool to see. Don't sleep on the Falcons. I think with home cooking and some good play, they could win this conference tournament. That being said, you know, Jacksonville, Utah, tip of the cap to the Vikings for winning this, you know, winning their quarterfinal game to get to the semifinals. Utah has been to the NCAA tournament. You know, they kind of know what it takes to win this thing. So does Air Force. You know, the Dolphins, correct me if I'm wrong, right? They've never been to the NCAAs. So trying to figure this out and get there is going to be key for them. Yeah, so I think that you're talking about experience and environment, which to me makes Air Force and or Utah the favorites in this one. But I'm normally wrong, so take it for what it's worth.
But in any case, this will be a one-bid league, so something to watch for. And one of these teams is going to keep their dream alive and head to the NCAA tournament in May Madness next week. Patriot League semifinals are at the United States Military Academy. So two academies hosting. This is in West Point. Friday, Sunday setup. Number one seeded Army West Point will host and be playing number four Boston U, coming off of two crazy, amazing wins in their last two games. First game is at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. CBS Sports Next Network is carrying these games. And then the nightcap, number two, Lehigh, will take on number three, Navy, at 7 o'clock. And is there a chance we could see a Army West Point Navy rematch at West Point on Sunday?
Why, yes, there is. It's absolutely in the realm of possibility. Saw Army play in person for the first time this year, this past Friday at Loyola. Evan Plunkett is, he's special, really, really special. And Army plays a very disciplined, buttoned up brand of lacrosse. They look like Maryland, vintage Maryland, in terms of not making mistakes and then capitalizing on the other team's mistakes. So I'm really impressed with Army. Lehigh, the number two, I think most Mountain Hawk fans would have thought that that was very improbable a couple weeks ago. But, you know, a come-from-behind victory over BU, a come-from-behind victory over Lafayette. This is a team that doesn't have Mike Sisselberger anymore, so they have to fight scratch and claw for every possession that they get. Scott Coles had another terrific year. They've got a good defense that takes risks. You know, so they'll take on, you know, again, a Navy team that played very sloppy against Loyola, 23 turnovers, I think, in the quarterfinals. Dan Daly, their goaltender, was really, really good. You know, their first midfield, they rely heavily, heavily on their first midfield. So not a ton of depth in the midfield for Navy, which makes it very difficult to ultimately what they have to do is win three games in 6 days and go to Army to do it. Very, very difficult. And then BU, they had the disappointment last year. I think they were up at one point by 8 goals on Loyola in the semifinals of the tournament at Nickerson Field, lost to the Greyhounds. I think that still, you know, is in the back of their mind, you know, as they enter into the game against Army that they beat earlier this season. So they're going to have to try to, you know, find that magic. But they feature, you know, Perfetto and D'Alto at the attack, one of the most prolific duos, not just over the last couple of years in the Patriot League, but in the history of the league. And then, you know, Meyer in the as a long stick midi is a really, really good one. So these are two really, really interesting and good matchups. But the Patriot League, for the quarterfinalists, it's brutal, you know, to win three games in 6 days. So we'll see what happens. But again, should be really, really entertaining game. Games. What am games. I saying? Two games on Friday. CBS Sports Network, too. Dave Ryan, Evan Washburn will have the call.
Next up, the Atlantic Coast Conference semifinals. They're going to be hosted in Charlotte, North Carolina at American Legion Memorial Stadium. Number one, Notre Dame takes on number four seeded Virginia, 5 o'clock on the ACC network, followed by number two seeded Syracuse and number three Duke at 8 o'clock. These games are just for NCAA tournament seeding because there's no automatic qualifier in there. There's only five teams. So this is just for kicks really. And to spin up some RPI.
Yeah, and you half think that the tournament come back because of the exclusion of Notre Dame and Duke a couple years ago from the NCAAs had they been able to play extra games. But that was a situation where teams were playing each other twice. And no, it'll be fun. You know, Anish Shroff, Matt Ward will have the call. Notre Dame's to lose, right? The way that the Fighting Irish has played here in 2024. Syracuse, you got to tip your cap to Gary Gate and his players. They've been terrific so far this year. You know, Duke saw them in person against North Carolina. I mean, they were getting run off the field in Chapel Hill until, John Donowski really emptied his bench, put a new faceoff guy out there, put a third midfield in the game, and all of a sudden they started playing because you realize the guys that really don't get a chance to play are still pretty darn good players. And so Duke is an enigma, really, with how good they can play the Virginia game, you know, a couple weeks ago, and then how bad they can look. Four goals in the loss to Syracuse, and then getting.
How do you explain that? I know.
I don't know.
You're not the only. Many people have been asking this question is like, what is up with them? This is a school team that has 18, 19 grad students. So it's not as if they're a young team that hasn't been there before. Is it a chemistry thing? Having so many new faces, maybe?
I really don't know. All I know is the air went out of their tires fast against Carolina, especially when the Tar Heels scored those flurry of goals at the end of the first half to take I think what was a 2-goal advantage became 5 at halftime. But I just, like, again, they're very impressive looking in person, but the way that they just kind of stopped fighting was interesting. And then Virginia, I thought Paul Carcaterra made some great comments at the end of that Notre Dame Virginia game. Why is the ball not ending in the stick of number one, Connor Schellenberger, in those situations? Like, if he wants to start with the ball, he should be getting it back. And if Virginia thinks that they've got better options than Connor Schellenberger to win a game, okay. But I don't understand why number one isn't. And was he locked off? Was he, you know, unavailable? Or I'm not sure. I saw that in the game against Notre Dame. And then you saw it the week prior against Syracuse with the game on the line. It was in other people's sticks. Yeah. And I just don't get it.
He's your best feeder too.
Yeah. So, you know, Virginia's on the skids a little bit, so much to the point that people are talking that if they lose to Notre Dame on Friday night, that they fall off of the, the top seed line, the top eight seeds, the host, do they have to go on the road, which I think is a distinct possibility. But all four of these teams should be in the NCAA tournament.
Should be, right?
Should be, but we'll see what happens. But like you said, you know, all about NCAA tournament positioning this weekend in Charlotte.
Yeah, and in a very different scenario, the last conference to kick off their semifinals is the Ivy League. This will be hosted by Cornell, the top seed in Ithaca, New York. This league, Cornell seems to be the only lock for an NCAA bid, and the other teams really need some quality wins or win the championship. As the RPI stands right now, as we head into the weekend, Princeton and Yale and Penn, pretty much Princeton and Penn especially, need to win the Ivy League automatic qualifier as it stands right now to get into the tournament.
I agree. And this will be a fun tournament. Typically, it's been super duper high scoring. I anticipate that being the same this weekend. You like to sit here and say, okay, yeah, Cornell probably is good for the NCAA tournament. Should they lose to Penn, a team that they did lose to in the regular season, their only Ivy League loss. Does that knock them out of hosting a first round game? Yale and Princeton, I mean, you would know better than I would. How tough is it going to be for the Tigers to back-to-back weeks beat the Bulldogs?
I remember saying last week that the recipe for – you asked me what Princeton needs to do, and I said they got to win faceoffs, got to get scoring out of their midfield, and a good goalie play. They got all of
and
that.
And they got all three.
All of those things.
Funny how
Yale,
that
works. Yale faceoff guy, they had some faceoff issues. I think they're playing a third guy. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to have their top guy, Machado, back this week. And that could be a big factor, a big difference between week to week, how this game is played out. So that
Penn,
we'll see how that's.
Yeah, and Penn was off last weekend. They did not fill their schedule with a game. They actually gave their kids off.
Yeah.
So they should be, you know, quote unquote, fresher going into the tournament. This will be Chris Cotter, Quint Kessenick, and Paul Carcaterra will have the call from Ithaca.
Yeah, so Princeton plays Yale again in a rematch at 6 p.m. on ESPNU, and followed by Cornell and Penn at 8:30, and then the championship game is on Sunday, I think, at 1 o'clock.
Here's my challenge. Of course, I'm going to try to watch as much as I can. But in Columbus this weekend, it's supposed to be really, really good weather. And I'm going to be sitting in my daggone hotel room nerding out on lacrosse.
Maybe there's a patio or somewhere
you got to go hope.
Sit outside and watch the game somehow.
Can I tell you, though? Okay. So when I was in Columbus previously, the hotel I stayed, the people are great. It's awesome. I've stayed there many a time. When I checked in, though, they only had rooms on the first floor available. So I'm like, whatever. I don't care. I'll never do that again. I'll never stay on the first floor. My room overlooked the or looked out to the back parking lot. So therefore, I was closer to a door than to go out the main entrance. I just had to go out the back side door. Every time I went out the back door, whether it was morning, noon, or night, people are always hanging outside, smoking or just like checking their phones. Like a bunch of weirdos, a bunch of weirdos. And these are college age kids because the gymnastic championships were in Columbus. So these are student athletes. They're like hanging outside in like this little walkway. It was just weird, man. So never again will I stay on the first floor. And I'm not going to feel too weird either, just sitting in my room watching lacrosse games when other people are just being weird outside. It was weird.
All right, so that's hilarious. I've seen this too, like in a hotel where there's people just, you're like, what do you live here? You know, especially those hotels that are sort of like extended stay things where you see like people working and then you're like, you're way too comfortable here. You're way too comfortable here. So I got a question for you. You're doing Thursday night games. Your championship game is on Saturday. What time's the Big Ten championship game?
I think it's 8 o'clock. It's late.
Oh, it's a night game. Cool.
Yeah.
So you got all day Friday to watch the semifinals of those other leagues we just talked about. And then Saturday, you can watch a bunch of championship games. Do you have any responsibilities from Big Ten? Do you have to go to practices? Do you have to interview coaches or players or something like that? What will you be doing in that time off between your games on Thursday and Saturday?
Technically, no, other than I will be a guest on, Big Ten studio shows talking about the tournaments and things. I plan on, it's supposed to be really nice weather. And I've got some spots I like to go to in Columbus. I love the North End Market is great. Hot chicken takeover. There's a bagel place. You got a Buckeye Donuts in there. That's a great place to go. Thurman's Cafe, incredible burgers. When I was in Columbus a couple weeks ago, I went down to the North End and went by a place called the Hyde Park Steakhouse. It's got my name written all over it.
Sounds great.
Plus I have some work colleagues that live in and around the Columbus area. I might catch up with some of them. Will I go to practice on Friday? I don't know, unless there's an injury development or something crazy happens on Thursday night, probably not. Will I talk to the coaches? Yeah, probably a little bit, but at this stage of the season, there's no surprises. Yeah, so it's a long weekend. obviously being away from home and being out of town. But, and look, I know a lot of the, I'm at the age where a lot of the parents on these teams are friends of mine, and I could possibly hang out. Here's the trick, though.
Oh, here we go.
A lot of them, and I love them all, a lot of them want to talk about the game I just did, though. And I just watched it for 2 hours and was talking for 2 hours. Last thing I want to do is rehash the game.
Yeah. Oh.
So what do you think?
You got
You
it.
know, ACC is getting this many, Big Ten's getting this many. What do you think? Who's getting left out?
Tell them to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I want to disconnect from
You
that
should
stuff.
have like a QR code of our podcast, and you could just hold it up. You're like, nah, saving my voice. Oh, I got to tell you a quick story. So I'm watching the game, the Princeton Yale game. Amy took the kids out. I'm just sitting there by myself. And Mike made a save, and he's like coming up to make a clear or something, and he's running up the field, and he was playing great. I mean, lights out, great. And the announcer says, Mike G is like a brick wall. He makes another save. I bet his uncle Dan Flynn is home enjoying this one. And I was like sitting at home by
Wow.
myself, and I'm looking around. I was like, wait, did the TV just talk to me? Am I hearing this voice in my head? Like, what is going on here? And it was Patrick Reed, who does the Yale games. He's a listener of our podcast and engaged lacrosse fan and media member. And he gave me a shout out during the game. And I was, but it was really one of those moments where I was like looking around my house as if someone had come in, because there was, why would someone on TV be talking about me? It was crazy. I loved it, by the way. I've never heard you do that one time, and I talk to you every single week. So what's up with that, man?
First of all, I haven't covered a Princeton game. And secondly, I do mention the D-Fly Dixie podcast
There you go.
on national broadcast. I'm sorry if I don't single you out for a shout out. My bad. I didn't know you were so needy.
Just being a good pal, buddy. It's time for this week's Give and Go, presented by Indutex USA. And Dix, you're going to be on the road. You travel a lot. You're going to be in Columbus. And I don't know what kind of convenience stores they have out there, but I want to talk about convenience stores. Now, around here, we have some Wawas. We got Royal Farms, seems to be like a Maryland staple. We got 7-Elevens. We got Heinz, Sheetz. You see a Rutter's. On the Eastern Shore, you got your Shorestops. There's Cumberland Farms. In Texas, they got these stores called Buc-ee's. You ever heard of these things? It's like
Never.
a Walmart, but it's a convenience store, and the food is amazing. Like, people swear by them. Do you have any other ones, like, when you're traveling around that you like to hit? And I don't mean like, I guess there's like Circle K is another brick store. I don't mean like an Exxon station that has a food mart. Like, I'm not counting those. I'm counting like branded chain convenience stores.
You kind of just name them all. When I'm up at Penn State, Sheetz is always a good hit, mostly because where they put us, hotel typically, and we do Sunday night games. State College shuts down, a lot of those restaurants shut down early, so Sheetz oftentimes is the only option. I don't think you mentioned 7-Eleven in
Yeah,
there.
I got 7-Eleven.
You
So
didn't mention 7-Eleven.
I want to rank these, because I have like in my head, I have what some of these are best for. Like Royal Farm stores, they're famous for their chicken,
Right.
and they do have really good fried chicken. I mean,
They do.
it's good. And Justin Tucker, beloved Baltimore resident and the greatest kicker who ever lived, is the spokesperson for Royal Farms.
Who was a spokesperson prior to him?
Halati Nota.
Did you see him at the draft?
I did.
Wasn't that great? It
Yeah,
was
I
he
love
because he went up to do one of the picks for Baltimore in the later rounds and said and had three sons with him. And he
it.
said, "Well, all my boys were born in Baltimore, and from birth they've learned to say one thing." And then all three of them got on the microphone and said, "Steelers suck." Oh,
Yeah,
that was
that's great.
great.
But Rural Farms, the best. They've really improved their brand. They've built bigger stores, cleaner stores.
They're gorgeous,
Yeah, they're really nice. I mean, it's
and they
a
offer gasoline too, so it's a
Yeah, they're
much
sitting.
bigger, wider space. Don't sleep on Royal Farms Western fries
Yes,
as
they're good,
well.
the
Their
fries.
Western fries
And
are.
then sandwiches and stuff, you can get prepared food there. Wawa is a little more famous for its sandwiches, the little
Yeah.
shorties and the really prepared food there. 7-Eleven, you don't want to touch anything that's made there. Although I do like the hot dogs. I'll get a hot dog and a
No,
Slurpee. They're
no.
famous for their
The
Slurpees.
Slurpees are great. The best thing about 7-Eleven, and it's not unique, is the freezer case. If you're ever hankering for like a Snickers ice cream bar or Twix ice cream bar, but all those other places have
Yeah, they
those
have that.
too.
One thing about 7-Eleven, on July 11th, 7-Eleven, you can get free Slurpees. You
That's
go in
good
and
to
get a
know.
free medium, small Slurpee. You just
A
walk in
lot of
on
people that
7-Eleven.
drink soda also swear by their fountain drinks, like
Are they
their Coke,
better?
the Big Gulp, like
Oh, the Big
the
Gulp. Yeah, that's famous
when
too.
they
The Big
get
Gulp.
they just say like the soda at 7-Eleven tends to be better than other convenience stores.
Sheets
What
highs
about
are kind of the same.
a Tim Hortons? Would that be considered a convenience store or more? I just
Tim
went to my
Hortons is
first Tim
more.
Hortons in Ann Arbor a few weeks ago, and I was very underwhelmed.
Yeah, I picture Tim Hortons is more like a coffee donut shop kind of thing, more like
Yeah, that makes
a
sense.
Dunkin' Donuts kind of thing, not a
Right.
real convenience store. There's a Heinz store that's in Fulton. Seems kind of out of place. It's just a little west of Maple Lawn, downtown Maple Lawn area. And over by Reservoir High School, and Bennett went to a baseball camp with his little buddies, and I used to stop there after he and his there's two old houses that are across the street. Bennett wants to live there. They had a whole plan, these 7-year-olds. They're like, we're gonna live across the street because everything we need in life you can get at the Heinz store that's across the street. They have
Okay.
ice cream, they have like slushy type of things. You can get hot dogs, you can get chicken, you can get ice cream bars, and you get sunflower seeds. For an
Wow.
8-year-old boy, he thought
It's everything that
this
checks
is,
all the boxes.
yeah, they're like, this is a dream. I want to live across the street from my eyes. And
Yeah.
they even talked about like, I'm going to live in that house. You two guys can live over there and be roommates someday.
Heinz was really popular when I was a kid. There used to be a Heinz like around where I grew up in Catonsville. And then there was also one on Route 103 in Ellicott City, but I think that one has since closed. Down near there's a liquor store, and then it was the old it's now called like the Beehive Brewery that's around
Yeah.
the backside of it. I
Oh
think that
yeah.
Heinz went kaput
Yeah.
on
Or
103.
and 104
Yeah.
right there. Yeah, that's
You
a good
started
place. I
talking
just ate there
about
last week. 2 weeks ago, I ate at that.
the beehive.
It's something like that.
Yeah, it's
It's
something of a bee theme.
good.
Yeah, I've
Good
been there
burgers,
before.
good food. There
Yeah.
was a live music there on a Friday night. It was great. Loved it. All right, go ahead.
You started talking about Sheetz, and or maybe I was talking about Sheetz earlier. They're the, I don't know, I feel like something gets lost, and Royal Farms suffers from this as well. Like when you go to a Jimmy John's or a Subway, not that they're high end by any stretch, but you get to see them making your sandwich. Whereas you go to the touchscreens at Sheetz and Royal Farm and you don't see them making your food. I don't know. I think that might be a little different, but where Sheetz to me is always a winner is they always have a huge selection of tasty cakes.
Yeah, that's a
Different kinds of
Pennsylvania thing.
tasty, like the pies, the crimpets, the peanut butter thing. Like they always have a gigantic assortment of tasty cake products.
So I grew up outside of Philadelphia, northern Delaware. People have heard this before, and tasty cakes are just a thing. If you know, you know.
They're
And
great.
the butterscotch crimpets were my absolute favorite. And then the pies, the tasty cake pies. Oh, goodness gracious. Every day of my lunch, Mama Flynn would put a butterscotch crimpet in there. It's the best. It would be the highlight of my day, really. The highlight of
My
my
mom
day.
would put it like Friday lunch was kind of the best lunch of the week. And I would get two pieces of bread, homemade tuna salad, but not on the bread because it would get soggy. It would be in like a little container. And then
Aren't you a little prince?
I'd have the butterscotch crimpets. Yeah, that was like Friday lunch was the bomb.
Did mom cut the crust off your bread?
Nah, I didn't go that far. Hey, listen.
She invented snackables, or what are those
Next
Lunchables? She invented the
level.
Lunchable.
Next level thinking.
Yeah.
The tuna is going to make the bread super duper soggy.
Yeah, Mama Dixon invented the Lunchable.
There you go.
Should have coined that. That seems like a good place to stop. Big thanks to our guest, Mikey Bame. Best of luck to you and the Wolverines this week. A reminder that the Defying Dixie podcast is brought to you by Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm that specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. If you like what you heard, like us on your favorite podcast app, leave a review, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or online. But most importantly, share it with a friend. Tell a friend about the show and share it. Or if you happen to do games on national TV, on a sports network, you know, just mention the name on there and how people can find it. It's free and it costs you nothing. We always love to hear from you. So feel free to email us at dflyanddixie@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Instagram at dflyanddixie. Thanks for listening. And as always, enjoy the games.